All right, this morning I thought we'd look at just three examples in the Bible, and it'd be a little different. And I guess friendship of God for us, or to us, and just different examples. And one, we'll look at a place where God's very patient with us as a friend would be, and that'll be the last place we'll look. We'll look at one place where Jesus, we see where he really, some friends, of course he was a friend of man, we know that anyway, friend of ours, especially if you're saved, but he was a friend of everybody's. He came to, that no one may, you know, die lost. And so we'll look at just a specific example of a family, so to speak, that he was friends with. And we'll also look at a group of individuals that maybe didn't count on his friendship or his or God's, I guess, grace as much as they should have, or they weren't as trusting as they should have been. As sometimes maybe we're in friends, maybe we have friends and say, well, I don't know if I need to, how much can I count on them? And then you kind of, I guess, get, now you don't get surprised, but you get set back and say, boy, I never should have thought about it that way. And that's the first one we'll look at here in just a second. But as we look over, if you stay where you're at, if you'll turn over to Acts chapter 12, you can stay there for just a minute. And what I'm going to do is flip over here to Proverbs, and then I'm going to go to Hebrews just real quick, then I'll be done. But I'm going to go to Proverbs here, 27. You can turn there too if you wanted to, but just a verse. And Proverbs 27, 17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And so I studied that. I tried to look at that and best I could. And I said, what does it mean, iron sharpeneth iron? And what that means is one friend helpeth another. One friend sharpeneth another. And I thought, well, I can just bare iron sharpeneth bare iron. You can't do that. And what I'd read and studied said, yeah, but if one piece of iron gets heated up, gets hot, then it can sharpen the other piece. And vice versa. The other one gets hot, get heated. That doesn't mean necessarily friends get mad at one another, but what I mean is if one friend corrects another friend, but in a friendly manner, but in other words, offers correction, offers guidance, they kind of maybe heating up a little bit, say, hey, look, do you know what you're doing? Do you realize what's happening? It sharpeneth the other piece. And that's where the word countenance comes in. Because if you look there and see, 27 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. In other words, it changes him. But you have to trust him to do that. As you go on and read out, and we won't read any more verses there over in Proverbs, as a friend trusteth the friend. And so as iron sharpeneth iron, you have to count on that or rely on that, and it's true. And so as we look today, we'll think about that, not just... No, and the examples we'll look at here is how God is friend to man, or how Jesus is a friend to man, or our friend, you know, never leave us, never forsake us. And you think about how the closeness of friends or friendship can be. And so Proverbs, even Solomon, made a comment about that. And so keep that in mind. You got close friends, and that's very important. You know, you don't want a friend that all the time that agrees with everything that you say. You want one sometimes that disagree with you. And that's when that iron sharpens iron come in. That just came to me. Think about that. Sometimes it may say, well, I can't believe they didn't believe that or go along with me. But at the same time, they're helping you. And that's what a friend does. If somebody agrees with you all the time, you better watch them. Keep an eye out on them. Because if they got your best interest in heart, or they just... more interested in just kind of saying that they know you, more of an acquaintance than a friend. You know, that word friend it's got a deep meaning. You think about just come to me a strong trust in or relationship with something. You know, it's a deeper meaning than just what you would say an acquaintance. A lot of us have acquaintances, people that you know. But how many can you call a dear friend? And so that's what he's talking about here in Proverbs as well. One other place I'll read over in Hebrews, and we'll get over and we'll look. Won't be before you long today. Really, I'm going to try not to. You say, oh, he says that all the time. And I know I say that all the time. But today being Mother's Day, I know there'll be some special things going on. And people coming in, we're going to try to get out of the way and allow a lot of people to visit and allow the choir plenty of time to get set up and Brother Ralph and whatever they want to do and try to get right out of the way. Oh, and I was going to tell you, speaking of friends, I got my friend Randall with me today. And so you hear me talk about Randall sometimes and stories I've told about us. Of course, we worked together in college, and that's where I met him. He's the one I always tell you, and I tell this every time, too, that I pulled him out of the pool halls. All that's not true, but I always like kidding him about it. His first day of work or something, I remember. I said, where you been? He said, well, I've been down shooting pool. He made it on time. I said, we're going out to sell them pool halls. We got work to do. And I remember giving him a hard time about that. But been a friend over the years. I guess that's since maybe 1985, 86, something like that. I've known him and always stayed close. And really, I guess that's where this basis of the message came from this morning. I have to give him a lot of credit for that. He stopped in to see us. He was visiting family over in Rock Hill, South Carolina, and he could have flew back. He'd been flying back, but he rented a car, and he said, I think I'll just stop in, see how you guys are doing. So, again, glad to have Randall here. Most of, if you see him, you remember him. Say, oh, yeah, he's been here before, and he has. And if you remember, Randall's the one who found out I was in the hospital down in Houston. He called me on a Friday. He said, well, I didn't even know you'd been in the hospital. I said, yeah. And he didn't talk long, and he said, well, I'll see you tomorrow. And I hung up. Kim said, what'd he say? I said, he said he'd see me tomorrow. And Kim said, tomorrow? Tomorrow's Saturday. I said, yeah. And she said, he know we're in Houston? I said, well, yeah, I guess he does. Next day, about 2 o'clock, he walks through the door. How y'all doing? And he came from Nashville, outside of Nashville, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And sure enough, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, just like he said he would. You know, I think about over in Scripture when Moses told Pharaoh, tomorrow about this time. I think about Randall. That's what I thought of when he did that, because tomorrow, about the same time, within 24 hours, he walks through the door, and he says, here I am. And so that was kind of the inspiration, I guess, for today's talking on friendship, strong trust in, somebody you can count on, iron sharpeneth iron. And some of you, it doesn't matter, old or young, you think about how a dear friend is. Now, our spouses are dear friends, and we love them. And they love us, and they know more about us than anybody. But you can't beat a good friend either sometimes that you can sit down and talk to. And I guess that's why even since Randall's been here, he and I'll just talk and just laugh. And Kim, sometimes I think she just laughs to be laughing because she thinks I have no idea what they're talking about. And again, that's a mark of a good friend. So I won't continue on there, but that's kind of where that came from. So as we look at these three areas in the Bible, one's going to be in Acts, one's going to be in John, and one's going to be in Genesis, of how God has been a friend to us. Now, when I was looking at this, I could have pulled, I guess, 1,000 places out of Scripture. Or you could have used all the Scripture. And because God gave us His Word. And that was a gesture of love toward us that we'd have His Word through the years. But I'm going to read you something out of Hebrews as well. Think about that iron sharpeneth iron. And we'll go over in Hebrews. Let me find it here. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open in the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The reason why I went back and wanted to read that verse 12 is I really got ahead of myself. It said, we have the Word of God, and it's a gift to us that we may have. And if you'll notice there, it's quick and powerful and sharp as any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder the soul and spirit. In other words, it shows us who we really are. And that's what a good friend does. A good friend will show you sometimes who you really are. They'll tell you what you really need to know. Again, they may make you a little mad, and then later on you come back and you say, you know what, you're exactly right, you saved me a lot of time, saved me a lot of money, saved me a lot of aggravation, saved me a lot of this, saved me a lot of that. Let me run something by you. And think about that in Scripture, the spiritual sense. God's given us that. Mr. Grizzle said many, 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 many times, anything you need to know about life or troubles you're having in life, it's in the Word of God, the answer is. And so think about just having that ourselves and have the gift of that. And so think about how the friendship of God that we have. So this morning, just then, here's three examples, and I wanted to get to those. And I always like looking at these, and I think about that. And I've got you over in Acts 12, so we'll stay there. Just briefly, of course, you know this story. I love this. Of course, this little girl here. But it's more so, I guess, about Peter as much as anybody else. But go over here to Acts 12. Let's see here. Let's look at verse number 5, if we could. Acts 12, verse number 5. And again, this is just an example of God answering prayer, God hearing prayer. But on the flip side, us, and I'm talking about us sometimes, doubting God. And that's exactly what you see here. And I'm telling you, you guys probably wouldn't have been, but I'd have been in this group of people that had been praying, and I'd sent this little girl back and told her she's crazy, and I'm paraphrasing. But that's really not what happened. Peter's out there banging on the door, let me in. I've just got released. And you got to think, from his standpoint, I think about this. Yeah, he's got by all these centurions. He knew an angel let him out. He's got by all of them. But I still have to be thinking, aren't they looking for me? Because you wouldn't know. You know, you'd think, okay, I'm out here now. And I'm beating on the door. And I know where to go. God's got me out. They won't open the door. And there's some little girl looking through the window at me. And she runs back, and they won't listen to her. And I'd be like the people in the back of the room. So sometimes, so think about what God here has done, not only for Peter, but think about the people praying in the church and how sometimes they're doubting. And we're going back over into what we read there in Hebrews. And God knows our heart and our intent and our belief and our faith. So let's look here, and I'm not going to read all of it because you know the story, but we'll start out a little bit, then I'll go to the end and kind of refresh your memory. Then we'll move over into John. Spend a little more time there. It said, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So they were praying for him. The church was praying for him. They were. And it said, when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, and a light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, rise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. Peter had to think he was dreaming. I mean, and it, later on you see he came to himself, but I would have thought that as well. You think, am I dreaming? But all this is occurring. And the angel said unto him, said, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. He thought, well, this can't be right. What's going on here? This not happening to me. And that's why I get back to the part that he thought he was dreaming. He thought it was a dream the entire time. You ever had a dream where you wake up and you really thought it happened? You know, you've had those before. And you wake up and you kind of come to yourself and you look around, you look at the clock, and you realize, okay, that's not. You know, I woke up before and thought it was time to go to work or something. You know, I know that's probably occurred to everybody. And you realize, oh, wait a minute, it's just 1 a.m. Oh, that's right, I'm not going this morning till 7 or whatever it may be. I've done that in the afternoon. You fall asleep in the afternoon, you wake up and think it's morning. Oh, I've slept all night. And really, you may have only dozed off 30 minutes. So he was kind of that way. And it's like you saw a vision. And so when they were past the first and the second ward, they come into the iron gate that leads into the city. So they went all the way through the prison. So they didn't just go past, you know, sneak out the outside wall. You've seen these old westerns, you know, they'll tie a rope to the bars or something and pull the outside wall down. They'll all crawl out, sneak out, and there they're gone, jump on their horses, and they're out of there. That's not what happened. They went by the first ward. They went by the second ward. So they went by other prisoners. They went by other guards, and they're still going. And he said, they came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. They went out and passed on through onto the street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Gates opened up, he went right on out. And so, see, this is where I'm thinking, I'm getting into Peter, and thinking, Peter realizes what's going on, and he said, oh, I know where I need to go. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. So he knew what had happened. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. So they've still been praying this entire time. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. See, I love this. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. They said unto her, thou art mad. So they told her, she basically said, you're out of your mind. You're crazy. All right, now let's get back to praying. Rhoda, you going out of the room. You've lost your... You know, I can see that happening, but oh, that little girl, she's wondering, what's she talking about? Peter ain't outside. Y'all go back to praying. We've got to pray Peter gets out of there now. The Lord does something to help him, but now, Rhoda, you get on back. But he's out there, I'm telling you. No, he's not out there. Y'all go back to praying. What were they expecting? And they said unto her, thou art mad, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. So they said, well, okay, it's not Peter, but it's his angel. But Peter, the whole time, this is going on. I like that word, but, in the Bible. But Peter continued knocking. And they opened the door. They saw him. They were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, and said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. So I use that this morning as an example in the Bibles. And we think about, and go back to Hebrews, how just the Word of God itself, and we think about friendship, strong trust in. Remember, I went back and said, that's the definition. Very much liking for. Iron sharpeneth iron. Correctness. Guidance. Providing that information, or not information, but advice. Surety. And think about how God does that for us in our everyday life. The thing is, though, you have to sometimes wait on it. You have to be looking for it. You have to know what to be looking for. You have to be listening. And because in their case, Rhoda was trying to tell them, Peter's right outside. Yes, sure. Now, y'all go back to praying now. Who's going to lead us in prayer this time? Now, Rhoda, you're going to get back out of the room. I'm telling you, though, he's outside. And the whole time, Peter knocking on the door, let me in. And he was there. They didn't take time to listen or look at what God was doing. And so the last two examples, we'll look at the friendship of God, and we'll look at more personal, examples in the Scripture of where, well, let's just go to the next one. You'll see what I'm talking about. Turn over to John chapter 11, very familiar Scripture to you. And John chapter 11, and we won't read all that because it's a long, very long account. Of course, you know that is Lazarus. Jesus raises Lazarus. And we'll start again. Let's do, if you found your place there, chapter 11 in John. We'll look at verse number 5. An example of where Jesus, and we know Jesus loves us, and he loved all mankind, loves all mankind, wishes no one to perish. Here's an example of where I think in Scripture, these were his friends. You know, he was a God man, but he still walked on earth as we do. And here's an example, though, where he had friends, and one of his friends had died. And so we'll look here and see. He said, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And we had heard, therefore, that he was sick. He abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he saith to his disciples, let's go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And see, that's another thing I wanted to point out. See, a friend really doesn't care about what trouble he may face if he's truly a friend. He knew that Lazarus was sick, and we'll get to that in a minute, and he tarried 2 days. And of course, they talk about that here in just a second. But if you'll notice there too, his disciples said, wait a minute, Master, said, we're going right back where they've been just seeking you. They've been trying to find you, looking everywhere, and if they find you, they're going to stone you. But he was going. That was his friend. It already tells us Martha, her sister. He was going to risk it, so to speak. Of course, we know that with Jesus, anything was possible. I love it when you're reading Scripture, and you know, he went in amongst the crowd, and they went to grab him, and he just wist not, is what it says. I think W-I-S-T. In other words, he was gone. I still believe like he just kind of disappeared. Some people say, oh, that's not true. He was in too big of a crowd. They just didn't see him. I think it's like when he went into that upper room and the doors were locked. I still think he had that ability then. I think he just kind of, or somehow he clouded their eyes or something, and he just walked right on by them. And they never saw him. And I know others probably don't think that, but when I read scripture like that, I think, how did that happen? I think, well, you're dealing with the supernatural, so to speak. I mean, you're dealing with a God, Almighty God. Anything's possible. But as I see here, it says, his disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought stone, then goest thou thither again? So they was worried about him. Of course, he wasn't worried, because, again, God is able to do anything. Jesus answered, and there are not 12 hours in the day. If any man walk in the day, stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after he said, saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, in other words, he's straight with them then, said, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is also called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. In other words, he's going to go with him, but he's still doubting. He said, well, they're going to find us all. They're going to stone us all. And so we're going back to the hotbed, so to speak, going back to the firing line, the main place where they're looking for him. That's where we're headed. And so we're going to go with him, but we'll just die with him there as well. And so then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem and 15 furlongs off. Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. So that showed her faith. Right there as well. She knew the power. She knew he was a God-man. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. So in other words, when she said, yeah, I know he's going to rise again, I believe you. She had faith. She knew he was going to rise again one day. She just didn't know when that day was coming. And he pointed out right then, he said, well, wait a second. That's what I'm thinking. Did you forget? See, here's that again. Sometimes we get ahead of ourselves. Did you forget? I am the resurrection and the life. In other words, I'm standing right in front of you. And said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth not, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, says she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet coming to the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews in which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth into the grave to weep there. See how much time? Okay, we got enough. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. The reason why I want to look at the time is I really think we need to read the full account to get back to where he says, I am the resurrection and the life. We'll read the full account here of what Martha and Mary both experienced with their Lord. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Strong trust in, liking for, a love for, caring for. They tell you what you need to hear when you need to hear it. I am the resurrection and the life. Truthful. Truth, Scripture. So we looked and we kind of used Acts as that example. The church was praying in their faithfulness. And that's all of us at times. But also the truth of the Word of God and what He's given us. And as we see here, this is playing out in a real life example, as Christ here is with Martha and Mary. Of course, her brother Lazarus is dead. And said, "Where have ye laid him?" Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 9, yeah. And his spirit was troubled. And he said, "Where have ye laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Verse number 35, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. He loved him. And it tells us right here in the next verse, and John made sure to record that. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." It wasn't Martha and Mary that said that. If he said he noticed that, that was the Jews that were with Mary in her house, and they came with him and followed him and said, "How?" Oh, said, "Behold how he loved him." Oh, he had a great love for him. He loved Lazarus. They said, "You could tell he did. The God-man." And I say that, and say, well, you say God-man again, because remember, he was God. But at the same time, here, he had a physical form of man. And he had friendship, had love and caring and compassion. He did it for everyone. But this was his friend as well. And some of them could not, this man which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died. See, now they begin to question. See, always, and I can't remember who pointed that out. It might have been Pastor Vinoy. It might have been Preacher Jack, or it might have been Brother Darius, or Billy Mitchell. It might have been someone over time. They said, anytime you look at Scripture and you find an area, a place where it looks like here an example, Christ is going to do something, or has done something, you'll always get a verse or two in there, or a line or two, where the devil's people always throws a little doubt in. And I think that's there, too, to encourage us or let us know that's always going to be there. And that's what happens right here. So, you know, they're kind of said, the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died. In other words, I see that as, you can look at that two ways, saying, well, if he'd have been here, he wouldn't have died because he opened the eyes of the blind. Or I'm looking at it from the standpoint of saying, well, you know, he said he's opened the eyes of the blind. He said, not even this man should not have died, but where was he at? You know, trying to be a negative. You know, you can see it two ways. But verse number 38 said, Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, and there's a lot in these scriptures here. We're not going to get into it. A lot of preaching's come out of these scriptures, and you've heard it. We're just going to read it again for what we're the purpose of this morning. Is a strong trust in, a liking for, a love for, confidence in, a friend. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, but this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. See, he'd already said that before, over across from her. And I say across because it's across my page in the Bible. And then took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, with the grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him, let him go. A lot of preaching in there we've heard over the years. And we're going to move on from here, but just look here at one thing, a couple things. And it's been pointed out to me before, and I've always, after I've got this got pointed, I'm going to point it out to you again. You've probably heard it 100 times, but I'll tell you what, I rejoice in it every time. If he had not said Lazarus, but if he had just said come forth, everybody got up. You think about that. That's how powerful his voice was. So, but he had to specifically say, Lazarus, come forth. Because if he, again, you think about the power just in his voice. If he said, come forth, everybody in that graveyard got up. It all came forth. You think about that. He loved Lazarus, loved Mary, loved Martha. They were his friend. They were his friend. He was their friend. He used this, of course, as an example. And, of course, to the other Jews that was there, because remember, Jews require a sign. I always think about that. And during Jesus' time, they still... That was just part of Jews. You can go back and read the Scripture. Jews require a sign. And he wanted, as he stated up there above, as he was praying, he said, for these that stand here, I know that you hear me, but there's others here, and I wanted them to hear me as I speak. But you think about that as he said that, Lazarus come forth. And, of course, verse number 44, we've heard on, preached on before, loose him, let him go. In other words, let's set him free. Don't bind him up with sin anymore. Well, I've heard it preached that way before. Not to Lazarus, but people have used that and said, man that's lost is bound in sin. So when he gets saved, he's loose him and let him go. So you think about the friendship that Jesus had with his family here. And I'm sure many, many others. As the pastor said, the books couldn't contain all the deeds that Christ done while he's here. And here's another example, that one that we do have recorded, of the friendship of God. And we've got just a few minutes, and that's all it takes for this other one, and I'll keep it short. Let's go all the way to Genesis chapter 18, if you would. And it shows the friendship of God with one man. If you'll go over to Genesis 18, if I can find it. You know, I always say that and I get tickled, but you guys sometimes, if you ever get put on the spot or if you're teaching or something, it's hard to find Genesis and Revelation sometimes, and you think that'd be the easiest. But you flip back and forth and you end up over in the concordance or you end up in the index. You think, how did I get there? So if we look here, we've got these men that show up. Of course, you know Abraham. He's here. And these three angels visit Abraham. And we'll read just a few verses, and for sake of time, I'm going to flip over and just read a few more, and that'll be the end of that. But as Abraham intercedes here, as we read, it's because God is a friend of Abraham. And Abraham has been faithful to God, loves God. And as we see here, as he begins to intercede, and this is going to be the opposite of what we saw in Acts that happened, even with Abraham's intercession, it doesn't bode well for Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Marmon, and he sat in the tent, door in the heat of the day. This is chapter 18, verse 1. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. See, that's another one of those examples where like that angel came and got Peter. I picture Abraham there, and been a lot of people around, I would think. Abraham was very blessed. And I often wonder, so how did three men just show up without anybody seeing them? Unless they just kind of appeared, so to speak. And maybe they did, you know, they swooped in, got not noticed. You know, I never know, it doesn't tell us. But my mind likes to think about things like that because I'm thinking about the things of God now and the power of God. Same way as in Jesus' voice when he said, Lazarus, come forth. This is the God here, sent these three. And as we look here, and as he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him, and we saw them. He ran to meet them from the tent, bowed himself toward the ground, so he knew who they were when he saw them coming. And said, my Lord, if I now have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. A little old water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I'll fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts, ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do, as thou hast said. Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, make cakes on the hearth. Abraham ran into the herd, fetched a calf, tender and good, gave it into a young man, he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. He set, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat, just as friends would do. Of course, these were more than friends here, because it says here that Abraham bowed to worship them, but still offered them food, offered them drink. Of course, in those days, feet would be dusty from walking, so he'd wash their feet as well. And so, of course, you go on and you read through there, and you see where Sarah's promised a son, and she kind of chuckles within herself. Of course, that's made known. And then we get into the doom of Sodom, the doom of Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah, and as we look to be here to see, let's look here at verse number. Let's look at verse number 20. The Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now, see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me, and if not, I will know. This is where Abraham intercedes for them. So Abraham's got a love for these people as well. Of course, we know his nephew Lot is down there and begins to intercede for them. And this is one of those where a friend tries to sometimes dress another friend, or maybe you have a relationship, as we said even here, if it's a strong trust in, a liking for, a love for, you speak up. And Abraham, he spoke up here for Sodom. And three men turned their faces from thence, and he went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous in this city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this matter, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that righteous should be as the wicked, and that far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? The Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Abraham answered and said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. In other words, he said, I'm speaking to you, Lord, but I know my place as well. And he's look here and says, Peradventure there shall lack five of the 50 righteous, but thou destroy all the city for lack of five. And he said, If I will find there 40 and five, I will not destroy it. He spake unto him yet again and said, Peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there. In other words, God's been very patient with him. Again, he's a friend of Abraham. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto thee. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry. I'll yet but this once, peradventure. 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And of course, the Lord already knew. But he's allowing Abraham. Abraham's bringing him down, isn't he? All the way down from 50 down to 10. The Lord went his way, and as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. As we see in verse 19, there came two angels of Sodom, and in the end, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom, and Lot seeing them rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And we're going to stop there, and for sake of time, we'll be finished up. Oh yeah, I went about 2 or 3 minutes over. But what happened there, of course, as you see, and you know the story, there wasn't even 10 found. Abraham stuck his neck out for him. And as far as their wickedness and what we're told, maybe it was just for his Lot, that was his nephew. But let's say for now that it wasn't, because he went from 50 down to 10. Let's say he just loved the people there and he hated to see them perish. And so we talk about the friendship Abraham had with God. But he also had a love for people that maybe Abraham didn't know or he didn't agree with or he didn't agree with the way they lived. But he knew they were going to perish. And that goes back to over in Jude, pulling them out of the fire. He did all he could. He reasoned. And if you think about it, you know, kind of, you think the term dickering. He was dickering, trying to get it down, 50, 40, 45, 40, 30, 30, 20, trying to do the best he could, trying to save as many lives as he could, pulling them out of the fire, so to speak. And that's our responsibility, too, as Christians, pulling them out of the fire. Of course, preacher had a series of messages, I know, on that. But being a friendship of God. That's all I've got for you this morning. Wish your mother a happy Mother's Day. Give them a big hug if they're still living. Tell them you're glad what they've done for you. Give them a big kiss on the cheek or again a big hug, big meal. Don't let them do anything today. You need to wait on them. And got time to visit one another. And thanks again.